I mean, there's nothing, right? And the very thing that there is to hold on to, you know, the two horns on the end of his nose are the very things that we're afraid of at that moment in time. It's scary. And that's kind of what I'm walking through right now. My two oldest daughters are at home because we had this meltdown at home, and I'm trying to prepare for the message tonight, and my kids are going to hell and all this crazy stuff, really. But that's how it feels. You're like, you know, I was going to speak on mercy and grace, but I have none right now, so I better not. It's just like, what do I do? No, not, I actually had started preparing ahead of time, but it's like that sometimes. And what I find is so refreshing and reassuring and that God has allowed for us is his word. So we're going to look at his word tonight for no other reason than I need it tonight. And hopefully in looking at it, you will get something out of it as well. So Psalm 139, if you want to turn there, I'm not going to read it yet, but I want to talk about today we celebrated Veterans Day. And if you were here this morning, we had Colonel, what was his name? Yeah, something like that. We had this colonel here. He's good. I liked it. I just never got his name. And actually talked to him for a little bit. Shows you how good I am. But I enjoyed him. And he was talking about how we can be veteran Christians, how you become veteran Christians and serve all that. And I was reminded because I served a short stint in the Army myself, and it was only in the reserve, so it wasn't any big deal. But we still had to go through basic training and AIT. And basic training was a fun deal. And when I decided or was looking at going to the Army, and I think it was just like any young boy, and maybe even the women that choose to, but to go in the Army, you know, you always think of the covert operations. You see now everybody wears the berets, but back when I went in, only the really elite got to wear the berets. You know, the black berets were the Rangers, and the green berets were the green berets. And the red berets were, the guys that jump out of perfectly good airplanes. So I knew I didn't want to be one of them, but the idea was, you know, to get behind enemy lines and to have your face painted with all that paint and to sneak around. And you see in the movies where, you know, the water's perfectly still. And then all of a sudden out of the water, you know, they come up. And you're like, yeah, that's why I went in and enlisted. And then I ended up being like a clerk typist or something like that. I did. It was hilarious. But anyway, what I'm trying to talk about is that when I joined the Army, it was called serving. You serve their country. In the same way, God has called each and every one of us, in 2 Timothy, the scripture they looked at today, to serve him, to serve as a good soldier, the Bible says. So I want to look at what it would mean as we look at serving in God's army, as serving as Christians. And the first one I said was Psalm 139. And we're going to go verse 13. I am using my Bible tonight because I made notes in it, so I can't help you out with page numbers like we normally do. But 139:13 says this, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know them full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." All the days ordained for me were written ahead of me. So when I'm riding that rhinoceros and I can't quite find what to grab onto, there's always God's word. And it reminded me, as much as I wanted to send all my children back to their mother, that, man, all of my days were ordained and all of their days were ordained. What does God have in store for the rest of the days my children live on this earth? I don't know. It's going to be good, though. I'll tell you what, after today. So Psalm 139, God made each and every one of us, and he made us on purpose, and he made us with a purpose. And the purpose, ultimately, is to serve him. You were made for right here, right now. You. It's not by accident you're sitting in this room. It's not by accident that you're hanging out in, you know, the backside of Orlando, Florida, doing whatever it is that you do, but it's not an accident. It's actually more than that. It is actually purposed that you're here for this time. I know, the election's over and we all know the results, and regardless of what side you fall on and all that, and then we hear Dan Hayden last week, and it was a good message, but if you weren't in the right frame of mind, you could walk out like, why in the world am I even here? Because you have a purpose. And ultimately, what we realize is that as a Christian, regardless of who gets voted in the office or what happens in your day, our job never changes. What we're called to do never changes. We're still called to pray for those in leadership. We're still called to support the causes of Christ, regardless. So we're called to serve in that manner, no matter what. So a couple things about serving. The first thing that I will share is that you were created to serve God. In Jeremiah 1:5, it says this. You can turn there if you're quick, but I've got it. Jeremiah 1:5. It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And this is another reference to the psalm we just read. Before you were born, I set you apart. And this is specifically for Jeremiah. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. But just because that was specific to Jeremiah doesn't mean that it's not specific to every single one of us. It's God's word, and it applies to us. God formed you in the womb, and he knew you. Before you were born, he knew you, and he set you apart. And now, I don't walk in prophecy that much, but I want to share something God really placed on my heart today, so I'm going to give you a little bit of prophecy. And, you can do with it as you wish, but God told me that this Tuesday, all of the banks and government institutions are going to be closed. Just throw it out there. Yeah? You like that, huh? I don't mean to make fun of it, but it's going to be true. I guarantee it, all right? I've been told. So I may not be a prophet, literally, but some of you might be. But the thing is that God created every single one of us for a part to play. Why? Because we were created to serve God. God created us to serve him. God has a specific place for you and a specific part for you to play. God is very specific in that. So do you know what your part is? Because you were created for that part. It's a good question to ask. The second thing, you were saved to serve God. The first thing is you were created before the foundations of the earth to serve God. Then you were saved. You were recreated or reborn to serve God. And in Ephesians 2:8 and 10, this is a great scripture. This is actually a scripture I kind of started off with tonight because this is a scripture that God was placing on my heart. He's had me read it over and over and over. It's great. But 2:8 through 10, Ephesians 2:8 through 10 says this, for it is by grace that you have been saved. And we could camp out there all night. It is by grace. Grace. That you have been saved through faith. Not from of yourself. This is not from yourself, so that you cannot boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works. Talked about fighting the good fight this morning. Now we're looking at what it is to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. There's that advance thing God prepared. We were created, and then we were saved for things that we were supposed to do. Good works that we are supposed to do. Not just works, but good works. Works that focused on God, that furthered his kingdom. And that's the whole purpose, or not the whole purpose. It's a big element of why grace has abounded to us. Because he has something for us to do. He saved us for a purpose. Yes, to hang out with him, to spend eternity with him. Yes, that's a massive purpose. But there's another purpose that he has. He made us a masterpiece. Is that word workmanship is another way to translate that. He made you a masterpiece. Why? Because he wants people to look at you and your life and what you're doing on this earth and go, wow, that is incredible. I mean, I get that all the time as I'm walking down the street. Wow, that is incredible. Just joking. But look at you and what you're doing for God and say, wow, that's amazing. How can you do that? What? And it's like, it's because what God's done in me. How can you love like that? Because of the grace that's abound to me. How can you serve like that? Because it's the grace that God gave me. How can you sing like that? How can you, whatever you do? Because it's the grace that God birthed in me. And it's a good work that I strive to do. Also in Ephesians later on and throughout Paul, all of his writings, there's an element that Paul stresses, and it's kind of the what I would call the second Reformation that we kind of lost, and I say we, but the church lost back when Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses. The whole thing was to get the religion of the time back in the hands of the people. Get it out of the priests. The priests were hogging everything, and they were trying to make a big money off of it, and they were. So the idea was is they put the Bible back in the language of the people, and they put things back into the church rather than the leaders of the church. And one of the things that was supposed to happen back then that never did happen is they never put the church back in the hands of the church. So what we still have today is we have people like myself who are gifted to do something, and we do it because we're gifted, but everyone says, oh, he's the pastor. So if anything needs to be done, he's got to do it because he's the one with the title. He's the pastor. He's the one that God called. He's the one that God set apart. But that's not what we learn here, is it? Who is set apart? Every one of us. Who is called? Every single one of us. We're all called to be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every member, we don't have membership here, but every member of the body is called to be a minister. Now, a lot of you in this room do a great job at that. You step up, you play the instruments, you sing, you serve in the children's ministry, you serve in the youth ministry, you run the sound, you do all, and that's awesome. So maybe I'm preaching to the choir. If we had a choir, I'd be preaching to the choir. But the idea is that we need to make sure that we're doing that because that is what God gifted us to do. It's what he created us to do. It's what he saved us to do. And then when we focus on doing that, make sure that we're doing it with the good works in mind, because the very person that says this, Paul, what was the one thing that he was? He was a legalist, and he knew what it was to do things because of the works, the work. He did things because you were supposed to do them. And he's the very one that after his run in with Christ says, you know what, don't do it because it's work. Do it because it's good works, because it's what Christ has called you to do. It's what he's equipped you to do. And I don't know about you, but I oftentimes in my life get around doing church stuff, and I'm so good at doing church stuff that I don't really do a whole lot for God. That's pretty sad. I get so busy doing church stuff that I miss about doing the good works that God's called me to. I don't spend time with my kids or hang out with my wife and those things when I really should be doing that, because I'm all about doing God's work, right? And ultimately, it's not really God's work. You know, there was a fascinating thing that someone said one time, and I love this, is Jesus told the disciples at the time, and actually specifically Peter, he says, Pete, I want you to know this. He didn't quite say it that way, but he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And what we've done is we've decided to build God's church, and the very things that he never mentioned, like, Rick, I'm going to hang out with your wife on Friday night, make sure everything's okay there. I haven't found that in here yet. He said he would build his church. So yes, we need to be doing the things that he's called us to do. But there comes a point where it's like, okay, the good works part is done, and it just turns into works. So you were created to serve God. Second, we were saved to serve God. If you're a Christian, you are a minister. Minister is equal to serving. And every single one of us should be jumping in and serving. Now, the sad part in that is that serving is a four-letter word without spelling it with four letters. You know, serving is like, oh, there's drudgery to it. Oh, I got to serve. I got to work. And that's not it at all. If you're doing what God has given you to do, then it becomes good works. So find out what it is that God has built up inside of you, the gift that he's given you, the call that he has on your life. What is it that he's cooing and wooing and calling you to do? Because that very thing is what he placed in you, from what we learned about in Psalms and Jeremiah, from the beginning of time. That's pretty amazing. Number three, so you were created to serve God. You were saved to serve God. Number three is you were called to serve God. And before I even go on, remember, if you're called, you're equipped. So if we're called to serve God, we have everything that we need to do it. Non-serving Christian is a contradiction in terms. There's no such thing as if you're a Christian, you should be serving. You should be serving the body. You should be serving outside the church. You'd be serving. And now you're like, oh, Rick, I have five kids and all this stuff. How in the world do I find time to serve? You serve in the capacity that you can serve, even if it's just serving your family and building them up. That's how we're called to serve. But we're called to serve. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says this, all of you are members of Christ's body, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. It's amazing. We're all a part of Christ's body. Now, the problem is none of us want to walk around being the butt, right? But someone has to. So I'll claim that part. I'll be that part. But, you know, what good would it be to have a part of the body without the other? Like this morning I woke up. It was just the freakiest thing. I woke up, you know, kicked my legs out over the bed. They hit the floor. I got up, and my bladder wanted to head towards the bathroom. But my stomach said, oh, we haven't eaten for at least 10 hours. It's time to go downstairs and get something to eat. And then it was kind of like, your body doesn't do that, right? I mean, think about that. It's like, you know, the heart starts, boom, 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 boom. Hey, I'm really important around here because I pump the blood, right? And then, the hand can go, well, you know, you would be nothing without me because how in the world are we going to put food in the mouth that runs the body, that pumps, you know, you could go on and on and on. The hip bone connects to the... But the idea is, you know, and then there's always the kidney. It's like, I'm completely tired of cleaning up around here, okay? This is it. I quit. And then we go into shock and all that fun stuff. So the body doesn't operate separate of all of its parts. We need every part of the body to operate, right? And it's not a coincidence that Christ talked about that the body is a great picture of the church. We need every single one of us to play our part because we don't want to walk around with one arm. Or, you know, a half of a leg. Because then what happens is people on the outside, as they look at what the picture of Christ is, the church, they see this cripple, maimed, one-eyed, half, you know, scary-looking thing because the body hasn't come in and owned its part. Does that make sense? And that's not the picture that we want to portray. We don't want to portray the picture of Christ in his wholeness as just parts and pieces thrown together. It's like a chicken nugget. God only knows what's in those things. Don't ask. Okay. You were created to serve God. You were saved to serve God. You were called to serve God. The fourth and last of the commands, or the serving elements, is command. You're commanded to serve God. In Matthew 20:28, it says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Jesus himself was the ultimate example of what it was to serve. He didn't come, although he could have. He was, and still is, the King of Kings. The King of Kings. The author of the universe. The finisher of our faith. The Almighty didn't come to receive. He came to give. And he calls us to do the very same thing. He calls us and commands us that we are supposed to serve. James, it says, faith without works is dead. We can have faith, but if you don't put action to it, you don't put feet to your faith, it's not worth anything. He's commanding us to serve God. Ephesians 2:10 says, do good works. Good works. Works that glorify God and edify others. That was a great scripture verse that I always use and throw at my kids, but the one thing about throwing things at your kids, the scriptures especially, is it has the boomerang effect and comes back and hits you in the head. So 1 Samuel 15:22, I love this verse and I use it all the time on my kids, but it says that obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I would much rather you follow through on what you heard me say and miss it then throw yourself under the bus and die for nothing. But think about that. How many things do we do, the works that we do out of sacrifice? Oh, if I do this, they're all going to look at me. Ooh, and man, they're just going to know I'm following God. Or if I do this, I'm really holy. God, man, he's going to two notches on my thing. Okay, so maybe it's not that blatant. But we do that, right? We do things out of sacrifice. I'll just put in a few more hours. I'll show up and give it all I got. And yes, we're called to do that, but as long as we're doing it with the motive of the heart, the good works element, and not just the works element. Because we can overlook the very thing that God has called us to do and to be by getting involved in the very things that we think are much more important, and they're really not. So he's commanding us to serve. We're commanded to serve. Basically, what he's saying is, I want you to be like me and give yourself away. But again, it's like riding that rhinoceros, right? The very thing that we hold on to. I put my trust in Christ, and Christ is saying, yeah. And I want you to put my trust, your trust in me. But at the same time, in order for you to become first, you first got to be last. And in order to live your life, got to give it away. It's like, oh, really? Do I really have to do that? That's what he calls us to, give your life away. But the cool thing with that is that in Joshua 1, verse 5, God's promise that holds true to Joshua holds true to us. He says, he's calling Joshua to go into the promised land, which he had a glimpse of, right? And he's saying, don't worry, be strong and courageous, because two things are going to happen. I will be with you, and I will never leave you. I will be with you, and I will never leave you. And God promised us the same thing. Don't worry, give yourself away. I'll be with you, and I will never leave you. Oh, but God, I don't know what that looks like. Don't worry, I'll be with you, and I will never leave you. Oh, but the cost, don't worry, I will never leave you. Here's a question I asked myself as I was reading Ephesians 2, and it's cool. In this verse, in this translation, it says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. That's verse 4. And in that very verse sums up all of the fears that I have. God, the economy, it's tanking. He says, have I not given you the riches of everything that I have already? The richness of my grace? Wow. Yeah, you have. And if it wasn't for that grace that I've received, it really wouldn't matter what the economy is doing anyway. And then we say, oh God, you know, it's like death. It feels like I'm dying. Oh, but wait. In that same verse, didn't I already bring you back to life? Didn't I already give you all of the riches and grace? And haven't I already brought you back to life? So why wouldn't I keep doing that? As a matter of fact, in that same scripture verse, Ephesians 2, as he marches down up through 10, he says the very reason that he gave us grace and mercy, the richness of his grace and lavished us with his mercy, is because he wants us to be examples. He wants us to be those masterpieces. He wants us to be out there doing the very things that we were created to do, to serve him. Why? Because his richness of grace and his lavishness and mercy is to be an example to everyone else out there who God is. I need God's grace. Man, today I need God's grace. And I need his mercy. But the cool thing is, he's rich in it. He's rich in both of those. And he's my dad. So just like any one of my kids can come up and say, Dad, can I have this? And like any good dad, he's going, why? And as long as we can say, and I'm not saying that God is like this, but it's the way I am. As long as I can show, my kids can show that it's for the good works, then I say, oh yeah, $20. You're in luck. It's a 20 this time. It's not a dollar. But God's not like that. God is rich in his grace and rich in his mercy, and he gives it freely. Man, that's amazing. He has already lavished us with his riches and brought us back to life. So you have been created, saved, called, and even commanded to serve God. Will you accept the assignment? It's a covert operation, ladies and gentlemen. You get to put on the face paint and wear the camouflage clothes and crawl out there in the real world and sneak up on people and ambush them and do all the fun things that I was looking forward to in the army but only had to do with my chair and typewriter. But he is. He's calling every single one of us to enlist. I mean, really, we already have enlisted. If we said yes and prayed the prayer and really trust Christ as our Savior and Lord, then we're already in the service. The question is, are we stepping up to the call that he's placed on our lives? Are we stepping into what he's called us to do? Are we going through the training? Are we preparing ourselves to be sent out? Because every single one of us, regardless of what you do, is a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The fact is that it's just, you're a spy, right? Chris, he's a technician. He goes around the country and works on people's soundboards and all kinds of different stuff. I think that's what he does, something like that. I know he messes with all these technical things, all right? But the thing is, that's just what he's disguised as. He's really a minister of the gospel, and he's covert, and he's got his boonie hat on and his camouflage, and you're like, you think I'm a technician, but I'm really a minister. Right? And that's how we all are, regardless of what you do. Financial consultant, nuh-uh-uh. You're really a minister of the gospel, right? You're just camouflaged. So that's what God has called us to do, wherever we're at, is to be that minister, to be that person, that purpose that he's placed in us. So find out what that purpose is. It's not to save the world with your financial savvy. It's not to solve all of the problems in the technical world and solder all the right things together and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Those things are important. Yes, we're called to do those. They put food on the table, but what we're really called to do is be covert. We're called to be the spies. So there's a great show, now been made into a movie. This is your assignment. If you choose to accept it, this tape will self-destruct in 10 seconds. So that's the assignment God has given us. And you won't self-destruct, I promise, because he has promise in that. So are you ready to step up? Now, I say all of this because, as Sean said before we started, Renault and three, four other people have taken off to Texas, and we definitely need to be praying for them. We always need to be praying for them. But they've gone to a church planning conference. And some of you may know, some of you may not know. This is Mosaic, so half of you probably don't know. But that's part of what we do. Okay, we're excited about that. At least those of us that know are excited about what we're doing in that realm. And it is a huge heart of Renault's and a huge heart of Mosaic that we want to plant churches wherever God is leading. I mean, you think that we go on missions trips to do missions? That's only part of it. We go on missions trip to stick our ear to the ground like the Indian guides and say, God, what are you doing here? Are you calling us to do something here? So there's like 13 of us that stuck our ears to the ground in South Africa and went, God, you're calling us all to be here, aren't you? Yes, yes, please tell us. And Brazil and different places all over the world to see, God, is this where you want us? The Republic of Georgia and the Czech Republic and all these different places. I don't know whether we're going to do works there or not outside of what we've already started, but that's the investigation of that. So Renault and the three people that went, that's part of what they're doing, is they're investigating. They're looking at things that may be in the future of what we want to do as a church that are in the future. So why am I presenting this to you? Because I want you guys to put your ear to the ground. Because you may not be called to go to Brazil or San Antonio or Phoenix or Albuquerque or anywhere else for that matter, okay? You may be called to just stay right here. And that's all right, because we need you right here. But I guarantee you, if you are called to stay right here, you're still have to answer the call that God has on your life. You still have to listen to what God wants you to do. And this is probably one of the most exciting times of the church right now because of all the stuff that's coming down the pike. This is going to be a tremendous opportunity for the church. But the only way that we're going to step into what God really has planned is if we listen and answer with that thing. So listen to what God's telling you. God may be telling you, oh, there's a move in your future. Or he may be telling you, you know what? Start eating like spam and rice and don't eat anything else and just sock all of your money away. Excuse me, that just made me almost get sick thinking about spam, but I don't know where that came from. Wow, that was definitely a flashback from my childhood. I'm sorry, but spam and eggs. All right, forget the spam. Eat something else cheap, but no, okay. But the idea is, you know, I throw this out there. I don't know. Like I said, I'm horrible at the prophetic. But I would almost bet that there's people in this room that God is specifically speaking to that says, you know what, I'm going to use you to provide finances for what Mosaic Church is going to do around the world. Or I'm going to use you to pack your family up and move to a different part of the country. And right now you're saying, there is absolutely no way. But you know what? Just listen. Just listen to God. Listen to God. Because he's created us to serve him. He's saved us to serve him. He's called us to serve him. He's commanded us to serve him. And he's even said, hey, it might be time to get on the rhino for the ride of your life. And don't worry, because I'll give you something to hold on to. But are you willing? Are you willing to jump on the rhino and give it the ride of your life? It's going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to it. And I hope you are too. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Renew. We thank you for his heart and his passion for your church. We thank you for the fact that he gets up here regularly and speaks, and I only get to do it every now and then. And what a joy it is to share your word. Thank you for that opportunity. But more than anything, Lord, we want to just lay before you all of our hearts and all of our ears and all of our minds to hear what you are whispering to us, the call that you have on our life. Lord, what are you asking us to do? And through all of that, it is my request that we would react and act out of obedience and not sacrifice, because that is where you give honor. You'd much rather see us do things out of obedience than sacrifice. And Lord, we do want to be obedient to you. So allow us to hear from you, if it's just to stay here and support this place right here, then that is what we're going to do. If it's to get plugged in a ministry here, then that's what we're going to do. If it's to just look to the future and say, hey, it may be a move in our future, then you do that as well. But Lord, I want to open myself up and say, do with me as you will. And as I hop on that rhino, Lord, I'm looking forward to the ride of my life. In Jesus' name.